Many people abroad learned about the Chernobyl nuclear plant explosion well before the population of the Soviet Union. However, Western scientists had little access to the Chernobyl site and medical data for a long time. In 1991, Alexander Sich, an American of Ukrainian descent, was the first and for the long time the only Western scientist who worked in the Chernobyl zone, together with Ukrainian and Russian researchers.
The scientists were isolated because it was the zone, and also people by that time had forgotten about the accident. They didn't have much equipment.
As Sich recalls, his biggest shock came when he realized that the helicopters that were pouring the mixture of sand, boron and other elements on the burning reactor were missing their target, the exposed and super hot nuclear core. As a result, the reactor continued to burn for 10 days and the core went into a complete meltdown.
In fact, because the core was never covered, the reactor actually, the melted fuel actually froze itself after 9 days.
The scientist says that while the complete core meltdown at Chernobyl was a major disaster, it fell far short of the catastrophe many nuclear power critics have feared, the so-called China syndrome. In that scenario, the exposed core of a nuclear reactor becomes so hot that the molten material literally burns its way down through the earth. Chernobyl, at least, proved that to be a myth. However, as soon as the reasons for the explosion became clear, Western nuclear experts lost interest in Chernobyl.
Once the West understood what caused the accident, that these types of reactors don't operate in the West, that they will, this kind of thing can never happen in the West, they said they were happy with that and they moved on.
But in the areas of medicine, pharmacology and emergency preparedness, the lessons from Chernobyl are still being learned. Ala Shapira lived in Kyiv in 1986 and worked at the Kyiv Institute of Hematology and Blood Transfusion. She learned about the nuclear plant accident from her father.
He called me early morning, Saturday morning of 1986, to notify me that he was listening to the Voice of America in the middle of the night, which was his usual thing to do, to get some true information. And the broadcast was that Chernobyl in Pripyat, where the station was located, there was an explosion, nuclear explosion.
Later, Shapira and other doctors were sent to the affected area, where she took blood samples from the population.
Striking thing was how misinformed the population of the villages that were so close to the reactor was. People didn't take any precautions. Nobody gave potassium iodine to children or adults in that area. People were encouraged to use their products to collect mushrooms in the woods and in the fall to burn leaves. So the smoke of mixture of radioactive isotopes was in the air and people were breathing it.
Now, 25 years after the catastrophe, Shapira works as a medical officer in the Office of Counterterrorism and Emergency Coordination, part of the Food and Drug Administration Center for Drug Evaluation and Research. Her job is to make America ready for similar accidents which involve radiation or for the biological, chemical or nuclear terrorist attacks.
Yeah, the main to have a high level of preparedness, and preparedness would include training of physicians and medical personnel and informing population in timely manner, and that with the first signs of radiation exposure, people need to go and shelter, then evacuation, and then in case of radioactive iodine, it's mandatory to receive potassium iodine.
Back in the Soviet Union, Ala recalls, information was concealed not only from the population, but from medical professionals as well.
The librarian told me that they were forced to take all the literature with the word radiation and put it in the archive.
The Chernobyl disaster provided the field of medicine with some other valuable lessons as well.
There are two big areas that were really eye-openers for physicians on both sides of the world, that radiation burns contributed very much to the prognosis and outcome of radiation, acute radiation syndrome, that burns really kill patients. Even for though if there were extensive and deep burns, even for those who underwent bone marrow transplant, because bone marrow transplant could not save patients. So selection of the patients for bone marrow transplant is really crucial.
In the United States, the drugs for preventive treatment and alleviation of the effects of radiation poisoning are being developed. Shapiro and her colleagues at FDA collaborate with pharmaceutical companies and academic institutions on that task. Any technological disaster that takes human lives is a tragedy. But it can also teach lessons for the future if the information is shared and made accessible to experts all over the world. Tatiana Voroshko, Voice of America.